The tank is full, and we're moving through the Arizona Hour with Sanderson Ford and Rosie on the house.
You distracted me there with Elvis, man. I blew right through our true or false trivia for state park passes.
Sorry about that.
Got to do some passes. Give away some state park passes.
I'll get you a peanut butter and a sandwich at the end of the show.
True or false? Dead Horse State Park was named after a rock formation that looked like a dead horse that Calvin Kapp's kids saw when they were touring the site when looking for a place to move to. You text that answer to 411923. Did I say it right? 411? Yeah, 411923.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. True if you think it's true, false if you think it's false. Dead Horse State Park is named after a rock formation that resembles a dead horse. We also had a texter text in and say, yesterday was the first day of National Elvis Week. He's been listening to the Elvis channel on XM Sirius. Well, thanks for taking a time out of your Saturday morning to switch over to your local Rosie on the House radio affiliate and join us Saturday morning. Also joining us this segment.
Just finished up with the mayor of Cottonwood, Mr. Tim Alinsky. And now we've got another special dignitary on the line, Mr. Tom Pitts, who is the founding president of the Verde Valley Wine Consortium and a current member of the board of directors of the Arizona Association for Economic Development. Mr. Tom, thanks for making time for us this morning.
Well, happy to be here. And of course, my wife points out I go to way too many meetings, so sometimes it works that way.
Meetings.
How many of those does she have to come pick you up and drive you home from?
we try to avoid that, but you just never know. I do tend to get a little involved in some of these things, and dignitary is probably not the right title for me, but I certainly am a participant.
Well, you are, and you've been up in the Verde Valley for a while.
Well, I have. When I came back to Arizona, I came back to Arizona in 05. I'd spent quite a bit of time in Tucson, went to school down at the university. And when I came back in 05, I promised my wife, as a matter of fact, I wasn't going to get involved. I'm one of those guys that's always been kind of involved in a lot of stuff. And next thing you knew, I was just in so many different organizations and meetings, it's never stopped. But the fun part about the Verde Valley, and this is true of Cottonwood in particular, too, is there's an awful lot of collaboration in the area. And so there's a lot of volunteerism and a lot of folks work together to get things done. And that makes it a lot of fun to be here.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what drove you to found the Verde Valley Wine Consortium.
Well, I'll tell you what. It's a couple of three things. We kind of saw the economic crisis coming back in around 06, 07. We kind of saw it coming. And so we started to do some organization around the area. And the first thing we did, actually, at that time, I was the president of the Chamber of Commerce up in Jerome. And so we had five chambers in the area and the Yavapai Apache Nation, and we put together a regional tourism council to try to work together. And instead of fighting over each tourist that came to town, we kind of worked together and helped get some things done. Out of that, we spun a group called the Verde Valley Regional Economic Organization as an economic development group for the area. Similarly, if we were going to attract a business or a new entity of some sort to the area, if for some reason they weren't going to be in Camp Verde, well, let's bring them to Cottonwood. Or if they weren't going to be in Cottonwood, let's take them to Jerome or, you know, whatever it might be. And when the law changed in 06, it had been illegal in Arizona for a long, long time to make wine, all the way back to Arizona Prohibition, which actually happened 5 years before the federal prohibition. So this had been a great area for growing grapes and making wine back in the mining days up in Jerome. There was a fellow over in the Sedona area, Henry Sherman was his name, who was growing on the order of like 60 tons of wine grapes a year, which is about 4,000 cases of wine equivalent, and moving that wine primarily up to Jerome with all the international folks that were working up at the mine. Anyway, he was put out of business when they shut everything down and everybody left and they forgot about it. Well, finally, in 06, they changed the law in Arizona, and based on a ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court that kind of made them change the game and made it legal once again for these folks to start making wine. And so they started here in the area, and we had started doing some of this regional activity when the law changed. And so we set out to see what we could do to kind of help it out. And so we started the consortium in 08. And interestingly enough, and I'll go back to the collaboration idea, when we started the original consortium, we had all of the wineries that were here as members, but the entire board was made up of other businesses. There wasn't a single winemaker on the board. I wound up as the president. Our vice president was the executive dean of the college. Our secretary was the economic development director of Cottonwood. Our treasurer was with one of the banks here. It really became a community effort to make something happen in the area, and obviously it succeeded quite well.
Well, so Sherman is here in the late 1800s, plants grapes in the Sedona area. How he knew to do that, who knows? But then the industry lies dormant for almost 100 years before y'all pick it back up again here in the late, well, in just this last century. How do you know? What are you looking for when you're looking to start a winery? You got to be looking at lot orientation. You got to be looking at soil types, drainage, water availability. What else?
Well, and of course, you got to have an enthusiast who can afford to write the check. That's always an important piece of the puzzle. But there was a history here, and this is an area going all the way back to the Spanish explorers. You know, when they started looking for the seven cities of gold, they started planting grapes around this part of the world long before they did in the eastern half of the country. And so there was some track record. But when everything was shut down, it was kind of forgotten about. So there was a professor that came to the University of Arizona in 1970, transferred over from the University of California, Davis, which is, among other things, the big wine school in California, up near Sacramento.
All right.
And he had done soil studies for these wineries all over California. He wasn't a winemaker. He was a hydrologist, a soil studies guy. And he started on his own, just started approaching people around the state to say, hey, let's try planting this stuff and see if it works, because he thought the soil looked good, you know, based on his experience. So he finally took that to the governor, and the governor at that time, this is all the way back in 76, said, well, that's nice, but how about we do a formal study? And so he put together a $95,000 grant and worked with Gordon to put that together. They called it a four-corner study. They involved New Mexico, Colorado, and Utah, where it was legal in all of those states, so they could compare data, and started doing test plots all over the state. In 1979, Gordon reached out to an enologist, a winemaker friend of his over at UC Davis, to come over and do some test batches and say, well, you know, it's one thing to grow the grapes. Now let's see if it's worth a flip, you know, for wine. And lo and behold, there was some really good stuff happening all over the state. Their favorite was down around Sonoyta, down south of Tucson.
Sure.
So they went back and they decided to force the bill, and they had quite a struggle to get it done. But finally, by 1982, the first wineries were licensed. The first one was somebody connected with the university that started around Tucson. It was too hot down in the desert. He later then moved down around the Wilcox area, and his original vineyard is still in production. Second one was up in this area. And the third one, Dutt partnered with a rancher down in Sonoyta and started Sonoyta Vineyards because he knew it was a good area. His 1986 Reserve Cabernet was the first Arizona wine served at the White House for the Bush inauguration in 89.
Awesome.
So,
that's great.
To prove you could do good wine.
That's great. So if sweet Jennifer and I are getting closer to the horizon of retirement, and I'm thinking, well, we'll do a little grape orchard winery to secure the income, we're kind of stay-at-home people, how much property will I have to come up to the Verde Valley and find?
Well, that's going to be a little bit of choice as to what you and Jennifer choose for lifestyle. We have some quite productive areas up here that are as small as 5 acres. Some of the world-famous vineyards are that small.
Wow.
But typically, I'd recommend in the area of 10 to 20 acres.
Okay.
And it's going to provide a comfortable income. And a nice lifestyle. The fun part about the wine industry is it tends to be, kind of socially based. People like to visit, and they like to chat, and they like to have some fun, and that's part of why tasting them too is done so well.
So you can
look at like a 20-acre plot and probably be producing a pretty good income.
We'll find 20 acres, and what are the first things we have to do? How much am I going to have to put into it?
Well, I have to bring your checkbook. And of course, with Rosie on the house, I assume you're just floating in money, so you won't have any problem with that.
Well, Jennifer is.
I'm sure you and Laura have no problems at all in Jennifer.
Anyway, she keeps me on a pretty tight allowance.
Well, I'll tell you what, the good news, I mean, it's Arizona property, and when you compare the property cost here to, say, places like Napa or Bordeaux or something like that, it feels like our property is very inexpensive by comparison. I mean, they're selling property by the square foot in Napa now. First of all, you have to obtain the property, and then you need to clear it and get it ready for what you want to do. It's a fairly expensive undertaking to get started.
You know what? I think we're losing him.
It's been in and out the whole interview, unfortunately, because he's got some great information.
Oh, man. The guy's like a walking encyclopedia. And there's got to be the issue of wildlife. I mean, Verde Valley is full of deer and javelina, and they got to love grapes.
Oh, absolutely.
So fencing the property, irrigating the property, it'd be real curious to find out. And then once you plant the grape, I understand it's like 5 to 7 years before you can expect any reasonable amount of crop to produce. So if Jennifer wants to retire on a winery, which she's never said she wanted to do, but but if she did, I guess we'd better get started on it pretty quick.
Yeah, and I don't know about grapes, but nut trees are like that. Pecans, they say 8 years before they start producing. Pistachios can be as much as 12. Walnuts are up there. So I don't know if the grape falls in that same classification of...
Well, Tom was sharing with me that it's about a 7-year turnaround. But once it's producing, you've got 45 years of production.
Wow.
So...
And if you were on a smaller 5-acre and you did come up with a wine that people enjoyed, because you only have 5 acres and you're producing a limited amount, that's when you get to jack the price up for your exclusivity.
I tell you, I have a rough time, though, because...
Free enterprise.
I've done my bike rides, this big 40-mile loop around Sedona, and there's a place called Javelina Leap Winery.
Yeah.
Oh, the reds are awesome. But right across the street... is the Game and Fish Hatchery.
That's right.
So
Page Springs Hatchery.
Yeah, and I'll sit there and look at that. There's that one trout that's looking at me going, and then I look at the wine, then I look back at the fish, and I'm hungry.
Well, let's go on a little break and see if Tom's cell connection comes in, because I would like him to visit with us about the Verde Valley Wine Trail.